Is the Bible boring for young people? Not if Craig DeHutt, co-founder of Appian Media, has anything to do with it. Tune in to hear his passion for engaging youth with the Bible and how he is reaching millions with award-winning content. It's next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Welcome, folks, to another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. This is episode number 431, and we don't have an engine for that, do we?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I'm Phil Thompson. Steve Lacy is with us. We have a guest, which we will introduce here in just a moment or so. Steve, how are you doing today?
Doing just great.
All right. Good deal. In case you're new to the program, anytime we spout out a episode number, Steve, because he's a motorhead, tries to associate that with some kind of an engine.
Yeah. Gearhead's the proper
gearhead.
Proper
right.
Reference, but yes.
All right. I've been called a bonehead before, but all right. So before we start here, we want to just remind everybody that we have a new sponsor for the Church Solutions Podcast. It's us. Well, it's another product that we have, and it's brought to you by DailyDive365.com. So check it out, DailyDive365.com. That's also the website. It's preach once, inspire daily, from sermon to daily message in a tender's pocket in minutes. And we actually just did a webinar yesterday on that. And if you want to look at that webinar, a little over a half hour long, you can learn more about DailyDive365.com by going to StreamingChurch.tv/webinar. Did I get that right?
You got it.
All right. Well, that's good. Okay. All right. So today's guest is a seasoned freelance video producer, and he's got over 15 years of experience. In 2015, he co-founded Appian Media alongside his business partner, Stuart Peck. They were driven by a shared concern for the lack of engaging biblical media for young people. And their vision was to bring, actually to bridge the gap between youth and Bible study through professionally produced, accurate, and free content. And since then, Appian Media has produced multi-award-winning series, some podcasts, workbooks, and children's videos. They've reached millions of people worldwide. Please welcome Craig DeHutt to the Church Solutions Podcast. Craig, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here. So I was going to start off, Steve and I generally will banter back and forth and ask questions. We generally step on each other. But I was going to start off by asking, you know, what Appian Media was, but I realized after I read your bio, I probably answered that. But here's my lead-off question to you. What was really the spark plug that, you know, ignited this vision? Okay. I mean, most of us realize, yeah, there seems like there's a gap between the youth and biblical stuff, but what was it that really, I mean, did you just wake up one morning with this passion? What happened? What was your vision and how did that thing get going?
I typically credit it to coffee. And really what that was is myself and Stuart Peck, we had both kind of moved to the Indianapolis area around the same time, didn't know each other at all. But someone had said, hey, I know this Christian creative and you guys should have coffee. And I'm always up for doing that. And it didn't take very many meetings with Stuart to hear him express a lot of the same concerns that I was having. He was in the middle of teaching a high school Bible class and was looking online trying to find video that he felt good about sharing in the class that was well made and actually kept the kids' attention. And he said, it just struck me that oftentimes they would come into class and we would say, put the phones away, put the tablets away, and let's open the book. It's not disparaging at all against the book. The book is obviously the method that God chose to communicate through millennia. It's worked. But kids especially, but all of us really, are learning in a variety of other ways too, through video, through the internet, through media, through podcasts. And so Stuart said, you know, how hard could it possibly be for us to produce something? And we chuckle at it now, for us to go over to the lands of the Bible and produce something that's biblically accurate, that's visually engaging, that actually keeps their attention, and that's free, because that was really important to us. We wanted to be able to hop on YouTube or hop online, find a video that we could use in a Bible class, and use it right away. And so that really was what sparked it, as he started expressing these concerns that he had and this need that he saw. I was feeling the same way in the Bible classes that I was teaching. My wife and I had just had our second child. So I've got kids now thinking, how am I going to get them excited about the word? We could wait around and wait for someone to do it, or we could complain about it, which we did our fair share, or we could go out there and just make it ourselves. And so that's what we decided to do in 2016.
Wow. So what was your, what were you doing prior to that? You said
so
you were teaching
I was,
the Bible? Go ahead.
That's right. I was teaching the Bible, but I was also working primarily as a video producer here in Indianapolis. So shooting and editing video. Stuart and I both had experience in the past working for television news. I was more of an emphasis on like short and feature films. Documentaries weren't really on my radar at the time, but as we got into this and as we got more invested in it, I realized it has become one of my favorite means of storytelling. And so collectively, he and I were working in the industry at the time, creating content that was good, you know, helping businesses promote what they were doing. I had an interest in non-for-profits especially, but to be able to marry two of my passions, the biblical text and being able to creatively tell stories through video, was exciting to me.
Wow, that is amazing. So, obviously you talked about, oh, how hard can it be, right? How hard was it?
harder than we thought.
you
I'm thankful.
You just didn't take your iPhone and just, you know, let's shoot a video here.
If you've watched Out of Egypt, for those who have the eye for it, we do use some iPhone footage on occasion. That was not really on the table back in 2016. We launched a Kickstarter campaign, is how this had started originally. We became a 501c3, but I had some experience in the past as a consultant on other people's crowdfunding campaigns. And we asked for $40,000. Which was not nearly enough, but it's what we felt comfortable asking for. And we raised 65 in about a month. And
wow.
That financed a trip of about seven or eight of us to travel over to Israel for 2 weeks and shoot and then edit five episodes of what we now call Following the Messiah, which was following the path of the life of Christ.
Wow. So, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yes. Yes, we still look back at it and go, you know,
and the
there were other things at work here, right?
The vision at the time was to, I mean, the same vision you have today, which we want to be able to reach kids with some compelling media, biblical media. There's a
That's right.
Gap there.
Yeah, and it started with identifying it first in high school students. But once we released our very first video, we realized it wasn't just high school students who felt this way. We had adults who said, I've been a Christian for decades. I'm 70, 80 years old now, and I've never seen the Bible this way. And so we very quickly realized this is not just something for young people. This is something for anyone who's interested in the Bible, bringing the right kind of visuals in their minds as they study.
This really reminds me of someone that has gone before you, maybe that has a very similar story. Do you know the name Joel Bells?
I do not
at
know
all?
The name.
Do you know
Joel
World
Bells.
World News Group?
I do. Yes.
Yeah, that was, I think it was founded by Joel Bells. He recently
okay.
passed away. He was teaching fifth graders at Sunday school, and there was just no they needed. He felt like they didn't know what was going on in the world, and there was no appropriate news source for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he founded World News Group, which has blossomed into quite a media operation, and
Oh,
they're
yes.
doing Yeah, you're familiar with World then,
I
huh?
am, yes. Yeah, we've been blessed to attend several homeschool conferences over the last several years. Our content, no surprise, has become very interesting in the homeschool community, and have been able to meet with them. Their booths are always incredibly impressive. They put out a really good product.
Yeah, I've folded into my morning routine. They started a video news watch that's geared for, I don't know, fifth through eighth graders or something like that. But kind of like what you were saying earlier is, I mean, I watch it every morning. It's just a 5 minute kind of highlight of the news and kind of from just interesting world news stuff, and it's got some fun kid stuff in there as well. So yeah, that's so the target is really, it's I guess they made popular TV shows out of this thing. Am I smarter than a fifth grader? Everyone kind of comes down to, if you can target something for that group, it's going to appeal to just about everybody.
That's right. They are far smarter than I think we give them credit for. And what we were able to realize with some of our earliest content is, we do our best to pack it full with as much as we can. And maybe upon their first viewing of it, they don't get it all. But we want them to watch it again, and we want them to watch it and then go, okay, now I want to read the Gospels. And I'm reading it differently. I'm seeing it differently. And there are layers and levels to it. And so that's our hope with what we produce.
So talk us through one of, it's kind of a documentary type. What's the style of it? Can you kind of give us an overview of what one of the episodes might be?
Absolutely. We've adopted different styles. The first couple of series followed very much. Stuart's experience at the time was he was actually helping with some HGTV kind of home renovation shows in Indianapolis and doing an exceptional job at it. So following people as they do, in that case, the work, what we chose to do is we had a couple of hosts who led us through the biblical lands, and they would walk and talk through it. It was very important for us not to simply have a talking head with Jerusalem just in the background somewhere. We wanted them to go into the city and talk to the people and eat the food and visit with the locals, and let the viewer feel like they were joining the journey, and then intercutting that with other interviews and other voiceover to give a full picture. We've adapted the style a little bit. You'll see that especially with our recent production out of Egypt, where as in the industry, we call it breaking the fourth wall. We actually bring in the crew and have them engage on camera at times. I interact with one of the hosts. He's actually my brother, Jeremy. And we have a competition about who can make a mud brick more impressively, because we'll make handmade mud bricks there in Egypt. And we get dirty. And the desire is to be flexible with our style, flexible with the hosts, and flexible with the means of telling the story, so that people can feel like they're part of the journey and part of the crew.
Okay,
Yeah,
I want to jump in here and ask a
go ahead, sorry.
question. But eventually I want to shift this to you giving some advice, Craig, to people listening to this, like that maybe are pastoring or volunteering, advice on maybe creating their own video. I want to get that out in a moment, but let me
Absolutely.
back up and follow up with what Steve was saying. And that is, okay, we know the obstacles. One of the biggest obstacles in going over here and doing this was obviously money. But what were some of the other obstacles that you ran across when you went over there to the Holy Land to do all this?
Sure. How much time do you have? There is one, I will say at the outset, one of the main obstacles that people assumed was the case that really, up until recent events, hasn't been, is it safe? That's been the question from the very beginning. To travel over there and do the things that you do, is that safe? Truthfully, I felt far safer in Jerusalem than I did in some major cities in the United States, which will remain nameless, because tourism is such an important part of that country. They want people to come and to visit, and they treated us exceptionally well. And we found that true not just in Jewish areas of that land, but we visited places like Hebron, and We needed a location to overlook the city. Happened to come across a family whose house was kind of on a hillside, a Muslim family, and they had 7 or 8 children. And they just opened their home and welcomed us and allowed us to shoot video, brought tea and food and stuff out for us. Safety was not really a significant concern for us as long as we were wise travelers. And that's my recommendation for people. Go over there, be thoughtful and wise, make a plan. And usually you're not going to have any kind of issues. Another way of overcoming a lot of the challenges that might arise when you're doing something like what we did is we take the time to work with locals and get the proper filming permits. We just don't show up at the Temple Mount and start shooting video. And so there is months of pre-production, planning and coordinating and getting permits and permissions. And what we have found every trip is we are typically allowed to do even more than we asked for, typically allowed to go to places earlier or longer, or even exclusive places that we never thought possible, simply because we knew the right kind of people and took the time to plan ahead of time.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of you, obviously you're aware of Anthony Bourdain, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I thought the work that they did was brilliant. And it reminds me from what you're telling us, very similar to that. I mean, you were in
Yes.
people's homes, you were eating the food, it wasn't just standing up and reading a verse.
Absolutely. We incorporate some of that, certainly. Bibles are open and we talk about the message, but very much. I mean, Anthony Bourdain was one of the styles that we considered. There's also a gentleman who does something called drive-through history, Dave Stotts. We kind of took what we liked about several of these styles and then made it our own, but very much so. It's not going to be. I don't want to use the term raw, but there are some scenes, especially you'll see with Out of Egypt, where we want people to understand the trip was hard. It was hard for the Israelites. It's hard even thousands of years later. So you're going to see us jump out of a car, grab cameras, and start shooting video. You're going to see us struggle through an overnight train ride. You're going to see us out in the desert and explain how difficult it is out there. And we don't try to sugarcoat it. We don't artificially play up the drama because no one appreciates that. I don't appreciate that. But we want to genuinely show you the places. There was a family as we were driving from a location. Actually, I think it was after the mud bricks. We saw them baking bread in an oven that they had made out in their yard. I mean, this is a poverty-stricken area. And we said, "Can we talk to them?" So we hopped out of the car and jumped out, and they were thrilled to see us. They were in the process of making bread and shared that with us. And so we shot a little scene while we were there. That's the approach that we take, is we want people, viewers, to feel like they are literally on the seat next to us as we take this as we take this trip.
So how do you tie in the biblical message in this documentary?
Yeah, it's
I
really
mean,
important for us because we want to visit sites. With the Gospels, it was far easier. The Gospels are very specific about sites, and we know a lot of them with pretty close certainty that this was actually Bethlehem. This was actually Capernaum. This is the Sea of Galilee. And we want to visit those places, talk about the stories that occurred there, and then usually take a little bit of time to discuss. So now what? Like, why is it important that we know that Jesus taught in this place? Why is it important that we consider that he calmed a sea like this? Why is it important for us to consider about the food? Jesus used food in a lot of his miracles, and why would he do that? And what does that mean for us? And so it's important for us, even if it's just a passing reference, that Bible verses actually come up on the bottom of the screen. As they talk about the story of the Exodus, or we talk about, we visited Turkey for one of our series and talked about the seven churches of Revelation. The biblical text is read throughout it, but it's also referenced throughout it because we want people. I love to hear. I watched your videos and I had the Bible open, and I was following along. Not that obviously we're going verse by verse. But when we talk about the church and we talk about, what was Ephesus struggling with in those first few chapters of Revelation, we want people to have that passage open and reading it, to tie it together. It's not just a history show. It's not just about geography and culture, but it's about what it means for us as Christians, and what the biblical text is supposed to do for us as we read it.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that the vision was to be able to go to a classroom and pull up a YouTube video that was appropriate. Was that your target, or were you looking to create? Well, you have your own media company,
right?
Create your own media company, and I mean, what was the vision for the distribution of the content?
That's a great question. It has changed a little bit over time. It has always been our intent to make it available for free. That's part of our mission. It's part of our core values. YouTube wasn't on the table at the very beginning. Originally, we thought we're just going to send them to our website, you know, appianmedia.org. People can come, and that'll kind of be eventually a library of content. And that is still available. People obviously come and consume our content that way. You can preview all of our podcasts and videos from appianmedia.org. But what we realized pretty early on is we don't want to necessarily be the distribution company. We want to be the creators. And so we have partnered with other organizations that are very good at distribution. And so our content is on places like PureFlix and Right Now Media and Faith Life TV and YouTube. They're a great distributor of content. When people go and look for this is actually where we first started looking for it. We want to go to where people are already gathering and looking for this. We want them to be able to find us. And so that's been our view from the very beginning. That even meant, contrary to my preferences, that we started producing DVDs early on, because they said, I understand it's for free to watch online, but where can I buy the DVD? And so we made DVDs and Blu-rays. I'm excited to say that we're working our way out of that. But it's always been our goal, you know, that our content is where people would be looking for it.
Yeah. Were you able to, do you license the content to some of these distributors?
We do. Yep.
Okay. So they're paying a licensing fee, but you're primarily relying on donors, coming to the appianmedia.org?
That's right.
Website to donate? Okay, so that's the main funding source?
Yes, that's our main funding source.
All right. I'm a big Roku and Apple TV guy, and I installed Redeem TV not too long ago. And
okay.
Are you familiar with them at all?
I vaguely familiar. They're fairly new, right?
Yeah, I think they may be, but I just, you know, as we're, you know, you're sitting on the couch thumbing through stuff, I've seen some really good, Christian based, documentary style, programs through them. So if you haven't reached out to them, you may want to reach out to them.
I appreciate
as well.
That.
Yeah. So that is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a pastor listening to this podcast. Because Steve and Phil are one of my favorite people. And I'm really intrigued by this. I think, first of all, this is exciting. We've already talked about how people could get some of this content. But what about if my youth group or there's some young people in my church, hey, we want to do videos too. We want to reach our generation. What advice would you give to some people that are aspiring videographers?
Oh, that's a great question. So part of my job over the last 5 or 6 years is I have found opportunities to train high school and college age kids in the art of filmmaking and content creation. And many times they feel intimidated to even try because they think they have to start with the gear that we use. And it's not true anymore. I'm glad to say it's not true anymore. You start with the camera that's in your pocket. Because nowadays, the camera that's in your pocket is unbelievably impressive. I graduated from film school in 2007. We were barely taking photos on our phones. And now we're shooting 4K, 8K video on your phones. Start with what you have is usually my first piece of advice. Start with what you have and learn to use it in a way that is professional. because it's not as easy as just pulling it out and shooting video. You need to learn some things as far as composition and lighting and how to tell a good story. So, regardless of the tools, learn to tell a good story. Get a microphone. It's usually my first recommendation for churches that want to live stream or create their own content. We are far quicker to forgive bad video than we are to forgive bad audio.
Yeah, we beat
And
that drum
so,
a lot here because you obviously
right?
with streamingchurch.tv, that's one of the things we run into all the time is audio.
Yeah.
But go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's true. Well, and I think we all like I worked in radio in high school. It is so important that it sounds professional. And so starting with those two things, and if you're able to do that, you're not spending very much money at all. And then start with what you know. And so produce content about things that you're passionate about, things that you already know, so that you can start getting content out early. It doesn't have to be starting with this giant thing of I'm going to travel overseas and make 5 episodes and 2 hours of content. Like, don't start with that if that's not what you know. For some of us, I had never traveled to Israel before. I had hardly traveled internationally before, but I knew filmmaking. And we partnered with people who knew Israel and knew the Bible. And so start with what you know, bring in the people that can fill in the gaps of what you don't know. And when it comes to getting the message out as far as your church, as far as the gospel, there are so many avenues. I think one of the temptations is to try them all at the same time. So I want to post on X and I want to post on LinkedIn and YouTube and Facebook. And my recommendation typically to start is pick one or two and really dig into that, really invest in that and build that audience. And then add more as your audience starts to grow. If TikTok is your jam, maybe that's your jam. Like, I haven't heard of a ton of churches, but I would love to hear from them if they have that have found a lot of success on TikTok. But don't try everything all at once, I think is another piece of advice that I would give.
I think that's solid advice. Craig DeHutt is our guest today. So the project that we've been talking about is called Out of Egypt. Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Are there other projects that are in the future that you might want to share with us?
Great question. The overarching plan of Appian Media is to be able to create content from cover to cover. So when people say, what do you intend to do next? The plan is all of it. Our goal is in the next 10 years to create enough content that covers the Bible cover to cover and create a curriculum, Old and New Testament. What we would like to, Lord willing, to start with next would be the book of Acts and the journeys of Paul. And that has been requested of us since the very beginning. And as I'm sure you can imagine, we have kind of chuckled and said, I don't know how we'll do that. You're talking about four or five or more countries, and you're talking about an amount of time that just was not feasible
And some
for us.
shipwrecks and things like that too.
Yeah, do
That
we
there.
reenact the entire shipwreck? Because I'm sure that'd make great
<Yeah.
video. Our wives would probably have something to say about that. But how much do we want the audience to feel like they're on the seat next to us as we, go down in the ocean? But that's our plan, Lord willing, is to we've already kind of begun the initial development and pre-production of that, and then Lord willing to begin production of likely at least two trips. To tell the story of Acts.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. My only Bible class I've ever had was an elective in college, and it was on the book of Acts and Paul's travels. I wish I had gotten a better grade, but.
Hey, what real quick, we're running out of time here, and I want to make sure I get your contact information out here. But before I do that, AI is how is AI factoring into what you do? Or
Oh, that's a great
is it
question.
working at all? Are you doing it using AI in any degree? Or are you like, no, we're not going to do
Yeah.
that?
Oh no, it's a common conversation between myself and Stuart. We are constantly looking for ways to enhance our toolbox, right? AI, what I can tell you right now is as what we're using it consistently for are things within like Premiere Pro, where we do a lot of our editing, where we can enhance the audio and clean up audio using AI with it. It is astounding how clean we can use something that used to be, I would never broadcast that. And now I can use AI. We also use AI in our transcription. So when we come back from our trips, we've got hours and hours and hours of interview dialogue that we can in moments transcribe. And it's not perfect, but it's enough for us to get a sense of the story and what this interview was. And now I can read it. I can even edit it just by moving the words around. It actually moves the video around, which is wild. Saves me days of post-production. I do most of the post-production for our content. In addition to that, we are diving into a little bit with what Photoshop has allowed us with generative AI, not to create entire images, but oftentimes I might have taken a photo, but now I need a vertical video, a vertical version of that photo, and I didn't think to take that when we were there. I can generate something because I was there. I understand what that vertical part of, I may just need to extend the sky or the sand a little bit. It is very important to us not to manufacture locations. AI is going to guess what Jerusalem looks like, but it's not accurate. And so we want to make sure, again, accuracy is a key part of our mission statement. And so I'm excited to see what other things are coming down the line that we can start kind of cleaning video by removing, one of the questions we got when we were out in the wilderness was, why are there all these footsteps out there? They assumed that, our host was the only person out in the wilderness walking around. There were footsteps and tire tracks everywhere. It actually would have been nice for some of those shots to clean up some of those tire tracks. Well, Premiere is going to make that available here in the coming days. So cleaning, enhancing, tweaking. I've not yet used it to create or generate something from nothing.
So along those lines, what about the future of different mediums? I mean, Apple Vision Pro is out there now. The metaverse is out there. I don't get a chance to talk to people in your industry much. Do they just scoff at that, or they take it? Are they making plans for it? What's going on there in that arena?
Well, I certainly don't want to speak for the whole industry. I can say that we are very interested. The concept of being able to fill your vision with the land of the Bible is fascinating to us because we're trying to make you feel like you are there. The idea of filling your vision with that and then letting you explore. Because with traditional video, you are bound by the position of the camera that the director chose. And you only get to see what the director decided to show you at that moment. But 360 video and the video that, you're able to consume on the Vision Pro has always been fascinating to us. Even from, I think, our second trip in 2017, we were shooting some 360 video. We've never been able to really release it in a way that is commonly used. But there have been occasions where in the Garden of Gethsemane, we set up a 360 camera. We wanted you to see the garden and explore it yourself as our hosts talk about what you're seeing. Hey, you can look across the valley here and see the eastern side of Jerusalem, and the viewer is allowed to look around. I would love to see that get even more further developed. So 360 video is something that we've actually been doing from almost the beginning.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. Fascinating stuff. Hey, so Craig DeHutz, our guest today, we're out of time. How can people get a hold of you, Craig?
Absolutely. So people can visit appianmedia.org and that contact form there on the website, they can send that message. It'll come directly to me and Stuart. And we're happy to respond to people in that way. You can find me personally at Craig D. Hutt on most social media channels. For better or worse, as far as I can tell, I'm the only Craig D. Hutt on the internet, which works in my favor until I commit like a heinous crime, and then I'm going to be really easy to find. But people are welcome to reach out to me on social media or things like that. And that's probably the best way.
If I was 15 years old, I would be saying, I want to work with this guy. Do you guys have internships at all?
That's a great question. We are beginning to entertain that idea. We have commonly brought at least one production assistant on our trips with us. And we've had as young as a 13-year-old with us on one of our first trips. And so our recommendation is, again, using that contact form on the website, send us a reel and send us a resume. And sometimes 15-year-olds have impressive reels and resumes. And I would love to see that and engage with people like that.
I'm not 15, but I'll get right on that. So,
Please do.
all right. All right. Well, look, we're out of time. We've gone over time, but I found this very fascinating and just a great interview. Craig, thank you so much for spending some time with us today on the Church Solutions podcast.
I'm glad to do it. Thank you all.
All right. On behalf of Steve Lacy and the whole team here, I'm Phil Thompson. Be sure and subscribe to the Church Solutions podcast if you have not already. And we'd love to hear from you. Please take care of yourselves and each other, and we'll catch you again next time on another episode.